and repeat it.
InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
K2KMB, WV2CSE.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
K2KMB, WV2CSE.
W2VL repeater.
WV2CSE. W2YKT, WB2CSE.
KNH, WA2VFN. AV2VHD, Jim, WA2VFN. WA2VFN is listening.
WB2ZSE.
WB2ZSC, WB2IKT.
Hello?
Hey there. Just curious as to how you made out the other day on the repeater devices.
Well, Steve had a prior obligation, but I was able to check out the duplexer, and that was perfectly fine. I downloaded the manual on the repeater. Lou said he had set everything except plugged it on low power. And the setup with the wires X thing is easy, and all we need apparently is just the one network connection to the computer.
Okay, sounds good. Is that a USB or is that an Ethernet?
No, it's a network connection. It's the RJ45.
Okay, good. So it's an Ethernet. No problem. Very good. Hey, thanks. That sounds like it's like a good step. Thank you.
Yep. So all I got to do is remember to make a couple of RF jumpers up when I get into the shop because the duplexer uses PL259 instead of ends. And what I'll do is I'll use Sonoron ends, Sonoron PLs, which I can do in the shop easily enough.
Okay, I guess that beats using an adapter, but just remember not to use ferrous connectors, that's all.
I have no idea what they make them out of these days, but you can solder to them. I don't think they were ever ferrous. I have no idea what they made them out of, come to think of it.
Do you have a small permanent magnet someplace? That would sort of be the test.
No, I realize how to check to see if it's magnetic or ferrous, but A, I don't know why that would matter, and B, I don't think they ever did come to think of it.
Yeah, apparently there's been runs of those things that are. I guess they're made of steel or something, or they put nickel in them. Either, you know, that's magnetic material as well. So, all right, as long as you're convinced they're not, I guess that's good.
Yeah, I mean, when you squeeze one of these with a pair of pliers, trying to take it off, it does bend. So I don't think it's ferrous. It's probably a nickel copper alloy, I think.
Okay, very good. All right, let me go. Thanks for all you do. WB2ZSC, WB2IKK.
Good timing. I'm just pulling up to the house. WB2ZSC.
Bye. WB2ZSC, WB2IKK, clear.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
and to VHC Mobile listening. November 2, Victor Hotel, Zulu, to VHC Mobile listening. November 2, Victor Hotel, Zulu Mobile, listen. And to VH Mobile, listen.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Alpha Charlie 2, November X-ray Mobile, listening Y-Mark, 2 meters.
Call me.
Did we just double? This is AC2NX.
AC2NX and 2VHC, November 2, Victor Hotel, Zulu Mobile. Good morning. Good morning from Nebraska. It's 11 o'clock here.
Number 2, Victor Hotel, and I didn't get the last letter, Alpha Charlie 2, November X-ray. Handle here is George, and I suspect we may have chatted the last time out. How you doing today?
Eat some corn.
Hey, George, Ken here, Kilo of November, Ken. Call signs November 2, Victor Hotel, Zulu, very high Zeppelin. Easy to remember that way, very high Zeppelin, Victor Hotel, Zulu. Yeah, I'm in Nebraska. I am driving north to South Dakota. We're emptying out stuff from a rental house, bring it back to our house. I just retired from federal service on Friday. So we're emptying out the government quarters little by little. And I got a week to get it empty. So we're doing the first stuff. We're getting a couple of cats. We have 3 cats. We got to get them from one house to another and some small stuff today. And then tomorrow we'll have a trailer. We'll start moving bigger stuff out. But we live in Nebraska, 80 miles south of South Dakota, and we were posted up in South Dakota, so we're starting to move stuff today. Beautiful weather here, 75 degrees, bright sunshine. What's going on over there in Long Island, and whereabouts are you in Long Island? Back to you.
I am in Medford, New York right now. That's where one of my brothers lives. The other one's up from Texas visiting, so we're kind of having a week-long reunion. Today's my last day of my visit. Weather here is 87 degrees. Congratulations on your retirement. I recommend it highly. I have been having great fun since I did mine.
When's the last time you got laid, asshole?
We got a third party in there. Come again with your call sign. This is AC2NX.
Yeah, I was going to go later, like another year from now, but it's getting ridiculous, you know, holding off the inevitable. So, did you enjoy your visit? And it's nice out here. It's nice to be in the middle of summertime here for Nebraska. It's not too hot. you know, and we have just a couple of hot days where it gets up to about 100. It hadn't gotten to there yet. It did get warm earlier. It was, we had a little heat wave earlier in the summer, but it went away. We're waiting for that second heat wave, and then it'll just stay about, you know, 80 degrees the rest of the summer. Then we get that brutal winter coming through where I can hibernate and just use the snowblower in the driveway. But did you enjoy your visit to the area? You said you were down there for a reunion. Is it a family reunion? And how long have you been retired? Back to you.
Yeah, kind of an informal thing. It's my middle brother had a stroke. Well, he had several of them. The most recent one was about 2 months ago. So, you know, we're just spending whatever time we can with him. You know, he's, you know, obviously struggling because of it and, you know, with a lot of other faculties. But, you know, he's still present and, you know, enjoys the company. It's good having us around. And, like I say, we'll spend as much time as we can with him. And, you know, in terms of having fun, well, yeah, I mean, a lot of reminiscing, a lot of funny stuff that we remember from when we were kids. And that's really great. And let's see, you asked one other question. Oh, yes, how long I've been retired. I've been retired since 1999, to give you an idea. And I have probably been busier since I retired than I was when I was working. A lot of stuff that I'm doing is still very technical in nature. I belong to the Cherryville Repeater Club, and we're in the process of replacing a lot of the older equipment, the old GE Master 2s that we had with newer Motorola CDMs, and I'm involved in that technical aspect of it. Over to you. And by the way, let's just check. There was another caller in there. Let's give him a chance to come back. This is AC2NX. Come on back, Ken.
Yeah, okay, very good. I see what you're saying. Yeah, you know, I went from being a radio technician over to biomedical engineer, and I miss radio, so I'm glad to get out of being a biomedical engineer and going back to radio. And I'll probably be more active now with electronics than I will be with board replacement, you know. Getting sick of being a biomedical engineer anyway. So I work for the government. I have 32 years in government service, not biomedical engineering by no means, you know, but other stuff. I work for the DOD most of my time, and then the rest of it is with the health services, you know, and Indian health services. So you ever been out this way? Out to South Dakota and Nebraska? It's kind of boring. It's nice to visit. It's not for everybody, to be honest with you. It's an odd place to live. You know, and you got to be ready to live in an austere environment. I lived overseas a lot of my life, so I'm used to not having a lot of stuff. So it's okay for certain people to live out here, but have you ever been out here? That's the question I wanted to ask you. It's kind of a goofy place to live. Back to you.
No, I can't say that. I'm a traveler. I mean, when I was working, you know, we did have to do some traveling as part of the job, but, you know, that's where our manufacturing facilities were. So I was either down in Greensboro, North Carolina area or Mesquite, Texas area. Once in a while I'd be out in the West Coast, you know, Frisco, L.A. area. And been to a number of conferences up in the Vancouver area as well. Virginia Tech was a big one in power electronics. And I used to go to the PESCA conferences down there. Outside of that, though, if I had my choice of traveling anywhere, I have more fun just kind of putzing around in my shop, making things, and not having to worry about where am I going to park the car. Not that I would ever have to worry about that in Nebraska, I wouldn't think. Yeah, that might be a nice place to visit, but you know, I don't have a partner now, and yeah, it's still fun to do that stuff alone.
Yeah, I was alluding to about the ham radio club you're in. They don't have much of that out here in the western side of Nebraska, so it's hard to keep up with technology as far as the ham radio, cutting edge of ham radio technology, because there's no clubs to speak of. They have them in words, but not in physical. Like, I'm a member of two clubs, and there's probably five members in each club. And the repeaters we have are just non existent. I had my own repeater for a while, and I cobbled together some old radios with a duexer and had it going for a while, and there was nobody ever on it because there's nobody to talk to, there's nobody around, and it's just a dying art out here. There's very few HF operators, and we have an anomaly with the soil, you know. We're in an RF hole out here in the Western Panhandle. It's horrible, you know, so you don't see any of that technology out here either. The whole state of South Dakota runs on VHF repeater networks. You know, I think they have like 40 repeaters in the whole state of South Dakota, and they all run on VHF, and they're all linked. That tells you everything you need to know, you know. It's kind of weird. And on every Wednesday, they all link up. They can have a continuous chain to the whole state. Then they bring it up, they bring it down, and they say it's enough of that. It's different out here, you know. And I worked for the railroad for a while out here as a radio tech. And we had really nice stuff for our, you know, the railroad. And it was nice, but then I left there and went back to the government. So I missed the good old days being on the East Coast. That was nice. So, I was wondering if you ever came out here, you see how frustrating it gets trying to operate a radio out here. It gets kind of crazy. But I have my times, I have my moments. I'm a big 6-meter operator back in the day, and that's kind of waned off. What do you do on HF? You do HF 6 meters at all? And VHF, what do you do on the other bands? Back to you.
Well, I have been working toward getting antennas up in my yard probably for the last 10 years since I got my ticket. And it's just like one thing after another comes up that kind of bumps that project. I've got more projects than there will ever be time to do, which could be frustrating, except that I'm never bored. And I recognize I'm not going to get everything done before I check out. But, I have fun with things that I do, and I do some meaningful stuff. I do have a 10-meter, about 12 or so dB gain vertical. I guess you'd consider it array, even though it's only two elements in the darn thing. But it shows promise of having some pretty darn good directionality. As far as where you are out there, yeah, I mean, like 6 meters, 10 meters, you can do that with aerial stuff that doesn't require counterplus. If you are doing verticals with the longer wavelength stuff, even out here, you know, even though the soil isn't all that bad out here, we still throw conductors on the ground for counterplus for radials if we're going to do verticals. So, you know, you could do that out there as well. And with HF, you know, you can get pretty decent propagation and get there. As far as the technology is concerned, yeah, you kind of miss maybe the action with guys that you would get together with. But there's always QST and I'm trying to remember what that other publication, the ARRL, puts out. I'm drawing a blank on something with an X in it, I think. So, you know, there are lots of places to find that stuff. There's the internet, and just, you know, having QSOs with guys in rag shoes that are doing stuff. That's ways of getting into it. AC2NX.
SN2PHC Mobile on Echo Link. Yeah, I hear you, but I found I go in and out with the ARRL year after year, and then they raise the price so astronomically that I found it not worth it anymore because, you know, like the antenna book, they just keep recycling the same information over and over and over. I lived overseas 17 years, and I was a member of a couple of clubs, like the Radio Society of Great Britain and then the Deutsche Temperature Radio Club, DARC. They have really good information, you know, and it's, to be honest with you, it's head and shoulders above the ARRL stuff because, you know, a lot of people take the ARRL as like, you know, this is the only information there is out there. The other radio clubs have information that, you know, precedes the ARRL stuff, you know, and it's not the only information in the world. And I've built antennas that come from those other countries, and they're very beautiful antennas, work very, very well. And I actually operate quite a few of them right now, and they work very well. And it's interesting. I lived in a place, I'll share a story with you. I lived in a place called North Carolina. I lived on a coast. Couldn't get any closer to the ocean than I was, 30 feet. I lived on a coast, 30 feet from the ocean, right? And I had the best propagation from there because I had the ocean as my conductor, you know? And it was wonderful living there. And the town was called Oriental. Now, I can hit this repeater from there with simple VHF antenna. We go hundreds of miles down the coast, you know? And it was excellent down in good old Oriental, North Carolina. With a scanner, I could hear the New York City Fire Department, you know, with a scanner antenna. Beautiful. It was excellent living down there. But now I live here in the middle of the United States, virtually the furthest feeder ocean. And I live 4,000 feet above sea level. And when you're RF deaf out here, you know, it's horrible. So I would say living near the coast are the best you can have, you know, for propagation. And I miss living near the coast. It's really excellent. So, you know, I run 9 different antennas out here. 9 different antennas. All on different bands, you know. And I do my best. I go on contests and stuff. But, you know, I can only say, I'm just curious. What do you get for prop? What do you do on 10 meters? Do you run FM, SSD, digital, DW? What do you run on 10 meters? Back to you.
Doing AM and CW. In fact, CW is something that kind of lights me up. As a kid, I belonged to a radio club in high school, but then, you know, like other things took my interest, you know, combination of the academics and music. And so I never got my ticket back then, and I'm sorry that I didn't, even though they had the code requirement, because now I find code interesting, and I've designed a really killer automatic keyer. I can send probably 30 words a minute very accurately with it. Problem is, I'm lucky if I can copy 10, and I got to work at that. You know, you get to a certain point, and your brain just kind of calcifies. That's more than that. I mean, you know, when you're young, your brain is still plastic. Language is something that's kind of getting hardwired into your brain. You're actually pruning neurons when you're learning it. But then after a certain stage, that stops. And learning another language then becomes a cognitive process, which adds a layer of processing to it. And it ain't as easy to do it as fast. So that's something that I am still working on. And I finally found an app that runs on my cell phone so that now I can kind of pick it up any moment that I've got free. And while I was out here, I had a lot of free time to do it, like on the commercials, TV programs that we might be watching or whatever, and I'm actually picking up a little bit more, and I'm just practicing call signs and things like that, so who knows, if I just keep on chipping away at it, maybe I'll get it. This is AC2NX.
Beautiful. So you run on, you also go on 29.0, which is the calling frequency. I go on there often, 29.0 AM. I used to have boat anchors that had a very warm, beautiful, deep sound on AM with the beautiful microphones that came with them, but I gave them away when I went overseas. I sold them for what I bought them for, which was pennies, what they were worth. And I went overseas because of the different, you know, the different setups. I was going to, it was just not going to work sending that delicate equipment on a container and having it come overseas. The different, you know, the whole setup was going to be ruined. So I sold my boat anchor collection to other hams in northern New Jersey at the time and cut my losses. But I used to love running stuff on AM, and I still go on AM with my solid state stuff here, you know, every day, you know, and it's not the same as it used to be. I go on 29.0 and thereabouts, you know, listen to people. Now, I'm not going to be able to talk much longer because I'm going into a dead zone. But I did move from 1 degree in latitude to another below. And that 1 degree in latitude made all the difference in the world. When I lived up here in Pine Ridge, where I'm going now, Pine Ridge, South Dakota, I had excellent RF, you know, results. And I moved back to my forever home, as they call it, in Nebraska, which is 1 degree lower in latitude. Horrible RF. But I deal with it, you know, that's the way my... So, what do you think about my comments on the 10 meters with the AM, AM amplitude modulation? Back to you.
Contact.
Yeah, you are starting to get a little bit choppy in there. Good timing, though, because I'm at my QRD as well. Yeah, there is a group in Percy, Pennsylvania. They call themselves the RF Hill Amateur Radio Club. And those guys run nets on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And mostly the time they pull it, well, no, that's the 2-meter. Well, they do. They do a 10-meter net afterwards. So at 8 o'clock they do the 2-meter net, and probably about a half an hour later than that they're doing a 10-meter net. I believe most of those guys are vertically polarized. That would be a really good challenge for you. If you can get yourself a good 10-meter beam and enter for Percy PA, aim it for Percy PA, and see if you can get into those guys. And they do a CW net on that, you know, very, very close, like 29005 is where they go. And then I think they go a little bit the other side of privileges. Up in the phone band, they go down just a little bit below that. But that'd be a fun thing to see if you can pick that up with an efficient enough antenna, and maybe get in. And that's the whole part of this game is having a very efficient antenna. So you want a good antenna analyzer that'll help you with that, and you want to know that you're measuring the SWR of your radiation resistance and not just the resistance of the wire leading up to it. Listen, Ken, great chatting with you. I guess this is N2VHZ, if I recall. This is Alpha Charlie 2 November X-ray. Have yourself a great rest of the day. I'll be probably on the road again tonight sometime in the evening hours. I'll throw my call sign out then. If you happen to be listening, I'll have enjoy chatting with you again. This is AEC2NX, 73, Ken.
AC2NX, W2RON.
W2RON, AC2NX. Hey, Ron, how you doing?
Okay, you know who I am? did we speak before? I heard you talking about CW, and I was going to just pass along some information about a good app. A good thing you can find online that really works well. But where do you know me from?
You and I had a nice long QSO while I was driving out here on 4th of July, if you recall. And I believe you said that you were on Echolink as well. We talked for a very long time until it was time for you to break off for dinner. Yeah, go ahead. I've got a pencil and paper in front of me. What's the app that you were going to suggest?
Okay, well, you were visiting some people on Long Island, and you were going back home today, so I guess that's what you're doing. Yeah, it's called the Visual Farnsworth CW Trainer. Visual Farnsworth CW Trainer. It's excellent. Outstanding program. You can get all kinds of different things like call letters or random letters. You can change the speed. You can make the characters come faster with larger spacing. You can adjust everything. So I pass that along to anybody that's looking to get their code speed up. Visual Farnsworth CW Trainer. Over.
Yeah, I'll look that one up, Ron. Anything that'll help. I'll try anything. I've been using F4V. Something for G4 FON. I can't remember now the call. It was somebody in England that had put together a practice app. I've got that on my Windows machines. I've got something called XCWCP or something like that that runs on Linux platforms, and I've got something right now called Morsel, which runs on my Android telephone, and that's what I've been practicing with. Anything that will get me going, and of course, you know, part of what would help is when I finally get my darn antenna up and just get on the air. It's just like the projects that get in the way, and I don't get around to it, but that's one of the things that I'm working toward. It was something else I was going to say, and I've forgotten already. AC2NX.
ADC2NX, W2OM. Maybe you'll remember while I'm talking. Yeah, this visual Farnsworth CW trainer is outstanding. It gives the letter at the speed that you ask for. It also shows you the letter at the same time on the screen at the speed you ask for. And it's just a super great program. It's helped me considerably. I've had my extra when the code speed was 20 words a minute, I got it, and I put the key away because I really never liked CW. Well, now, 35 years later, I want to try and play CW. I'm horrible at it. So I've been using this program, Visual Farnsworth CW Trainer, and it's really helped a great deal. But what's going to help as much as that or more is getting on the air. Put the microphone away, 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 away. Put the microphone away and get on the air. And everybody makes mistakes, so what? Get on and don't worry about it. Ask people to slow down. QRS, slow down, whatever. And if you don't get on the air and do it, you're never going to get any better. But this program, if anything, will help you a great deal. If you find up not liking it, well, what do you got to lose? But it's such a great program that I just can't say enough about it. Anyway, maybe you thought of what you wanted to say. This is W2RON, Ron in Milton, Vermont.
AC2NX for ID. Yeah, I did remember. When you were talking about visual, that reminded me of something. When I first started wrestling with this, I found the issue was it would take like a half a second to figure out what the letter was that I was listening to, you know, even at Farnsworth. And I know the entire alphabet. I know all of the numbers. I know all of even the punctuation signs. Problem is that processing the stuff cognitively takes a little bit longer. And when that's happening, I am no longer able to listen to what else is in that chain. Now, I've also tried to listen to a stream of stuff to pick out words, and I'll get so many letters in, and then all of a sudden I kind of forget what it was that I heard. And so what I found was helping me was I made myself a sort of scrolling oscillographic display. I found an app that ran on a laptop computer, and it would listen to the signal coming in, and it would display the thing as a waveform in front of me. And so if I got stuck on one letter, it would still be there for a little while the stuff that I wasn't able to pay attention to, and then I could catch up. So that was a visual way of doing it. Now, that doesn't work if you got a pile-up, obviously, or if you don't have a good, clean signal. But at least it was something that I was doing to kind of help. And it did help a little bit. And I was able to get a little faster with that. But, yeah, thanks for the suggestion. Listen, I am at my QRD. I'm going to go in the store, do a little bit of grocery shopping. I'll throw my call sign out when I come back out again. But good chatting with you again, Ron. Have yourself a great rest of the day. W2RON, this is AC2NX. Good afternoon.
AC2NX, W2RON. Well, it's been good talking to you again. Sorry I didn't remember that we'd spoken, but now I remember that you pointed it out. Unfortunately, everybody's fist is not that good. So those readers don't work so good. They wind up, they get confused. They don't know what's coming because the spacing is bad, the code is, the fist is terrible. So, and it's mine. But, you know, so these things aren't always a good aid. But if they work for you, that's fine. I have the same problem you have. I don't retain what I just read or what I just heard. And so by the time I get down a few characters, I don't remember what the other characters were. So I'm right there in the same boat with you. I listen to a lot of POTA, CW POTAs. They're rather quick, and they don't go on and on. So I get practice listening to call letters, et cetera, and locations, and that's it. But very good. You go ahead and do so. I'll stay monitoring if you want to chat when you come out. Let me know you're there, and I'll pick it up with you. Anyway, good talking to you, and we'll be here when you come out, if you wish. This is W2RON, Career, and standing by on frequency.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
This is Alpha Charlie 2, November X-ray, back in the mobile on Limark 2 meters.
I hear you. This is W2RON. Get all your shopping done.
W2RON, AC2NX. Yeah, Ron, just needed a couple of things. Just kind of trim out what we're going to have for lunch today. It's pretty darn warm here. We're up at 88 now. And it's good that the air conditioner in the car works.
Yeah, we got 85 here. I was out this morning. I had a doctor's appointment at the VA. So it wasn't too hot, but it's about 85 right now, and hopefully it won't get any hotter than that. Anyway, good to hear you back again. How much further do you have for your trip, over?
Oh, I haven't left yet. This is just the last day of my visit. I will be heading out sometime after dinner this evening, though. I've got a colonoscopy, of all things, scheduled on Wednesday, and my prep starts tomorrow, and I definitely do not want to be on the road while that is happening, so that's the reason I'm heading home tonight. So that won't happen until probably 6, 7 o'clock.
Well, preparations for those, if I can recall, are pretty miserable, and it takes a while, and you wind up in pretty bad shape as far as comfort, and then you got to go have it done. You're the second person in less than a week that I spoke to having one. I haven't had one for a while, and I don't expect I'm ever going to have another one. I know what they're going to find if they do, and I'm just too old to care anymore. Anyway, good luck with that, and I don't know, you got your big salt water thing that you got to take, over?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. That's, there's a whole bunch of different things, but they're all pretty much the same thing. It's polyethylene glycol, which I guess they call PEP. Same thing that's basically in Miralax, but then a whole bunch of electrolytes, sodium chloride, potassium chloride, sodium sulfate, sodium bicarbonate, and some of them even add other things. I have issues, though, with the artificial flavorings and sweeteners that they put in with them, and this one, fortunately, has a separate flavor pack that I can leave out of it, and I was told that I could just put lemon juice in it if I want to disguise whatever the natural taste of it is. and that is what I will do. So I made it a point to buy four lemons before I left home. They're in the fridge waiting for me there.
Very good. Well, it's no fun no matter what it is. And I don't know, how many do you have? Does it take them every few years or what? I was, they were taking them with me every 3 years, and it was 5 years. And now they don't ask me to do it anymore because it's kind of useless for me. I mean, 86 years old, how much longer am I going to be here? So, anyway, I hope it all goes well for you. And, pardon the pun, hope it's behind you very soon. W2ROS.
I was expecting the other pun. I hope everything comes out all right. That's also fairly common one. Yeah, the prep is really the worst part of it. And you're right, it's varied something between every 2 and every 5 years, and I guess the recommendations keep on changing. But it's sort of been that. And I think it may well be have been close to 5 since the last one that I had. A guy by the name of Dave Barry wrote a really cute essay on the prep for it. And he describes it as something that helps you to purge stuff that you haven't eaten yet until next week.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Well, you know, I never had much discomfort while doing it. One of them, I think I was awake for the whole thing. The other one, I think I dozed off somewhere along the line. But at no point did I have any real discomfort. Some people experience difficulty and discomfort, and some a whole lot worse. But hopefully the people that are doing it for you have had some experience and they'll do well. And like you said, it'll be over, and then we won't have to worry about it for a while. They always seem to find something, and that's the reason they do it. You know, they got these little things that they remove before they become problems. So anyway, it's something we never knew about 50 years ago. You know, You know, they've learned things, and I guess it's for the good. W2RON.
And AC2NX for ID. Yeah, what was I thinking? Oh, darn, it's escaped me again. I hate when that happens. I had something cute I was going to say, and I can't remember what it was now. What are you going to do? Well, listen, I'm just about pulling up to my brother's driveway again, so I'll be clear on your final, Ron. It's great chatting with you again, and if you guys are listening tonight when I'm on the road, I'll certainly welcome a chat with you again then. W2ROA is AEC2NX. I will be clear on your final. Good afternoon.
Okay, well, have a safe trip home. Have a good rest of the day. And if I'll try to remember to listen, but I probably won't be able to hear you very far. I don't know how. I mean, once you get closer to the city, I don't think you can reach the that one anymore. But there are other ones. You have one where you can get on the East Coast Reflector. I can get on that. Give a look for you. Anyway, have a good visit, rest of your visit, and a good safe trip home. Stay well, and thanks again for the chat. Glad I get a chance to ride along with you. AC2NX, W2RON, 73, and thanks a lot. 73.
N2YYC. N2MR. Yeah, YYC, then to MGM. How are you doing today?
All right, name is Howard down in Needle Beach.
Hey, name is Mike. I'm over here in Belmore. I have my second over there, by the way. I haven't been on in a while.
Sounds good. Still cloudy over by you? I came from once over. Cloudy there. Nice and sunny here.
No, it's, it's probably cloudy. It's like, it's like the, Florida weather.
Yeah, it must, be localized. Like you said, nice and clear here. All right, I'm going to sign, have a good day, and to YYC.
All right, be well, and to MGM as well.
Please, God, please let Charlie be on the radio. And there he is.
You know, I just finished a call on Pat Shogan, like in a medical office. Sat down, turned the air on, and you came right on. So, again, perfect timing. How was your fourth?
It was quiet. Thank you. How about yourself?
Just the wife and I. We did nothing. We worked in the yard. Had a barbecue yesterday. And that's about it. It was work in the yard and float in the pool kind of day.
Oh, I didn't know it, but you can't combine two chemicals for the pool and dump them in the same day. Calcium, the hardness, and total alkalinity. The entire pool was covered with, like, silt. I worked my tush off for days, vacuuming that stupid pool in the heat and the sun and sweating and God knows what else. And I found a company that for $105 they'll come and vacuum to waste. In other words, water just into dry well, not back into the pool. So let them vacuum it, but I've been running around like mad with, we've got a new a robot for the pool. That wouldn't pick up the silt. Bit of pain in the ass. But we're getting there.
You know, I never wanted a big pool. I would never put one in. I grew up in the business. Fortunately, I had a lake in my backyard, so that wasn't a problem. But, yeah, putting in pools for people, and then they use them a couple of months out of the year, and, you know, having to maintain them and the chemicals and everything else. I've got one of those little bladder pools I put in for my grandson. It's 10 foot by 16 feet. Just big enough for the wife and I to hop in and cool off when we're working in the yard. And better than a wading pool, but it's like 4 feet deep. That's all we need.
Well, you're smart. I figured between the electricity to keep the several horsepower motor for the pump and all my chemicals, I probably spent about $1,000 for 2 months, 2.5 months. And I don't even go in a stupid pool. It's my wife who does it. You know, sometimes you have to put yourself out to please your wife, which is something that many wives don't do for their husbands.
Well, if it makes you happy, what the hell? And like you said, if you have the pool, you're going to use it. Not something I miss. I mean, when I was a kid, my grandmother had a nice plantation in Maryland. We had a 30-foot by 60-foot in ground pool in a pool house for just three of us grandkids. That was fun. We were right on the water, and you know, I just found that whenever I put up a round pool at one point decades ago, and my daughter, you know, I could count on one hand or two hands the amount of times they used it.
Did you grow up there on a plantation, or were you a New Yorker?
No, that was one of my grandmother's vacation places, right on the Choptank River off the Chesapeake. We had previously owned a 150-acre cattle farm just down the road with a big 14-room colonial main house with a quarter mile of private beach, you know, a tenant farmer's house to take care of the farm.
I can't tell you, WA2VSM, how impressive all that sounds. I'm impressed. I don't know what else to say. I love it. I loved every bit of your description of the land and this and that, raising animals and stuff. I think if people did that and they grew up in that environment, it'd be a lot more civil today. I heard in Chicago over the weekend, 110 people were shot. God knows why. It must be gangs. 17 killed. Just the weekend.
KD2KH. Well, in our major cities, they have fireworks every weekend, sometimes every night. And it's not the guns, it's the people. But it's a shame. But, you know, if that's how you grow up, that's how you grow up. I mean, there are countries all over the world where it's, you know, normal everyday living, unfortunately.
It reminds me of the war cry of people today. Let's go, and then the rest of it I won't say. I think you know the rest of it.
Well, insanity. So. Yeah, I got some weird childhood memories. A lot of trips I took, backpacking across the country and national parks and whatnot. I definitely tried to squeeze in as much as I could. Jumped out of a plane a few times, did some scuba diving, little rock climbing, you know, hunting in remote areas. It's a big world out there.
Charlie, where did you grow up, if I may ask?
Islip Village. That's where I was on a lake. We had a house on a lake. Nice community. Nice little hamlet.
Did you say Islip Village?
Yes.
You know, in hearing your voice and your demeanor, you sound too nice to be a Long Island resident.
Well, South Shore, Long Island, in my community, on average, or where I grew up anyway, was a nice place to grow up. My high school class was like 250 kids, so we all knew each other.
I like Long Island. I didn't have 250 kids in my class. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Ah. Well, I've been following all the local news. There was a guy on the news who said, I have a mental/cognitive test every single day. Really? You want to submit to one now? Oh, no. Why should I? That poor person.
KD2KH. I think somebody else was breaking in there. We'll just hold for a minute for him. But, yeah, I don't want to pick on the elderly or mentally disadvantaged people. So we'll leave it to the other station. Want it.
I didn't think so. But anyway, so we don't get the natives restless, we will talk about the heat. I don't know too many people would be insulted if you say it's hot out.
Well, it's only 89 here, so it's really not hot. Yeah, what's the hottest location you've ever been to that you can remember?
I won't mention her name. Las Vegas, Nevada, in the summertime, 114.